Good morning, everybody. We have a number of prayer requests that I'd like to mention before we get started. I want to welcome all of our visitors. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. It's our honor that you're here. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. We would be glad to assist you in however we can. One of the prayer requests is for Kathy Hope and her husband, Mike. She is staying home today. Mike has tested positive for COVID, and she didn't want a chance bringing it here. Also, many of you know Sherry Nelson. She is still recouping from a hip replacement surgery, but her husband, George, is in the hospital with a severe case of shingles. And she requests prayers for him. Also, we got a card from Gloria Hidalgo, just thanking South Valley as a kind of an ongoing visitor. She just thanks everybody and appreciates how accommodating and welcoming this congregation is, and we're glad to hear that. We also need to, Dick mentioned in the opening announcements about Valon and his family has been sick. We need to remember them, but also just remember the missionaries that we have. I hope they are in your daily and weekly prayers. We've got Valon Sivakumar over in India. We've got David Marub in Kenya, and they just had 7 baptisms this morning. We rejoice in that. And we've got Malcolm Parsley over in South Korea. And so we need to remember them. And I'd like to go to God real quick before we get into our lesson and go to him in prayer. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thankful and humble that we can come to you in prayer. We thank you for prayer. And we can approach the throne of the Creator with our requests and fears and desires. Dear God, we ask that you be with Mike and Kathy Hope at this time. We hope that Mike gets feeling better and gets over the virus soon. We also ask that you be with Sherry as she's recovering from hip replacement. And we ask that you be with her husband, George, who's in the hospital with shingles. Please help them both and help him get feeling better from the shingles. Dear God, we ask that you be with Valon's family at this time. We hope that they all will get feeling better soon. We're thankful for the work that he and all of our missionaries. We pray for our missionaries, the work that they do, and we're thankful that we have an opportunity to be a small part of their work. Dear God, we ask that you be with those missionaries and keep them safe, keep them healthy, to be able to serve you. Dear God, we are thankful for this congregation, the work that it does, the name that it's made for itself, and that it can be welcoming to visitors, that it can be a light in the community that teaches truth, and that we worship in spirit and in truth. Dear God, be with us as we continue our worship to you. And we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. We have a very special announcement. The new baptistry works.
Amen.
We had Melaine, who's been worshiping with us for close to about a year now. She decided to be baptized. And last Wednesday night, she put her Lord on in baptism. So we have a new sister in Christ.
Amen.
And we the angels in heaven are rejoicing over that one. Goes right along with our lesson today. It wasn't planned like that, but the last few weeks, we've been talking about salvation. We had two lessons about getting saved, the steps that one needs to take to be saved. Last week, we talked, once you do get saved, staying saved. And today, I'd like for us to look at the issue of saving others. You know, once that you do get saved, we need to pass that on to others. I hope that as we enter through those gates, that we will be able to go in groups of people, of family members, of friends that we've interacted with, worshiped with, and have been maybe a small part in influencing them into also being saved. You know, I was thinking earlier this week, you know, whenever you ride on an airplane, you going someplace on an airplane, they're doing all the exit stuff and going through their little, you know, dance of where the exits are and stuff. They say in case of an emergency, the oxygen mask will come down. And they always say, believe it or not, I actually listen to this stuff. Not like it's going to help if you crash, but the oxygen mask comes down and says, put yours on first and then help the children or people that need it. And in a lot of ways, that's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. You can't help others if you're not saved. In fact, if you're not saved, some of your efforts might be false information that you pass on to others. And it might reinforce and drive the wedge farther between them and God. We could go literally, this topic could go for weeks. Different angles, different issues that you would go, you know, could think about in trying to save others. This summer, starting in June, or I think starting in July, we're going to be having a Sunday morning class about evangelism. So hopefully we will be able to cover all those different concepts and ideas. But today I want to look at a couple, just kind of focus on a couple of different ideas. One thing about saving others, you have to want to. You have to want to save others. And it's not going to happen, or I'll put it this way, you're not going to be an influence if you don't want to. You have to want to save others. I bet you right now, every one of us could write a list. And if you don't have a list, I would urge you to make a list of people that aren't saved that you would like to share the gospel with and get saved. I'm sure there are loved ones, neighbors, co-workers, members in our family, maybe under the same roof, that may not be saved that you wish were. When I think of this idea of wanting to save others, I think of Paul. And in Romans 10:1, he's writing to the Romans, the Christians in Rome, and he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Paul loved his people. And he wanted them to be saved. When you truly love somebody, you want them to be saved. And it's not going to happen just wishing. Our scripture that was read this morning, Jesus, as it was explained, Jesus was getting ready to send the 70 out in pairs to teach. And he makes the statement, and he's letting them know the situation. And he says, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest, not ours. It's his. But that's always been true. The harvest is great, and there never seems to be enough workers. Never seems to be enough people to go do the work. In Philippians 4, Paul wrote, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Those things that you see, that you've heard, you share them with others. You do them and pass them on. Jesus uses this concept in Matthew 28. We call this sometimes the Great Commission. He is sending his apostles out, his followers, into a world that he no longer is going to be here for. This is one of the last things Jesus does before he ascends back into heaven. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We've looked at this verse numerous times in various lessons. How Jesus is telling them, you disciples, you go make other disciples. Not just preach the word, but make disciples. A disciple is a disciplined follower. Not just somebody that hears. Lots of people heard. Not all were disciples. Not all followed Jesus. Lots of people heard. And he goes on to say, you know, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all. It's not a one-time session. It's a process. It's a teaching process to make disciples. Acts 4:20, we see the apostles, they'd been warned, threatened, jailed, beaten. They'd been preaching Jesus. And the religious leaders and social leaders of the day, the scribes, the Pharisees, the high priest, had told them, do not preach this. And Peter says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. There's no way we can't talk. We have been given such a great gospel, the good news. We've got to share it with others. We have to. We can't keep quiet. We have to want to. And when we think about the salvation that we have learned, we should want to preach it from the highest mountain, from every corner. Now, there's good ways to do it. Don't want to stand on the corner. People think you're nuts. But we cannot but speak the things that we have heard and seen. In Ephesians 6, sometimes, you know, we always think about go to all the nations. What about the people right around you? Mm-hmm. The people in your family. Mm-hmm. You know? You can go to some foreign land, but what about the people you're leaving? Mm-hmm. They need it first. And in Ephesians, Paul is teaching mothers and fathers, he's saying, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but instead, bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. That's saving others. That is making disciples. That is bringing others to Christ. You don't have to necessarily go. If everybody went someplace, who'd mind the store here? If you go someplace else, don't leave your family without the knowledge of God. We see that Timothy, that had been taught to Timothy. And Paul was aware of that. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul is telling Timothy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Paul is making, he's not only remembering, but he's making the acknowledgement, you were taught from your mother and grandmother. And I just think, you know, what Timothy later became, it started with them. What a great thing. Paul will be able to mentor and train Timothy, but it started with his mother and grandmother, saving others. And then in the next chapter it says, and the things that you have heard from me, Paul's telling him, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's saving others. The things that you've learned, Timothy, you teach other men so that they can teach other people. That has been going on ever since, all the way to today. Somebody taught you. Somebody, not just one person probably, but we've probably had numerous people have an effect on our lives. It's been going on since. Another thing that we need to remember, other than the fact that you have to want to save others, we're not always going to be successful. And this is not an insurance policy, not to go and try. But we're not always going to be successful. Jesus wasn't always successful. The great teacher Paul wasn't always successful. In Acts 2:41, on the day of Pentecost, it says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Not all gladly received the word. But those that did were baptized. Some people were hesitant. Some people might have rejected the word. Maybe some people heard the word, sounds good, but I want to learn more about it first. Maybe they were weighing out the cost. But those that gladly received the word then were baptized and were added to the church. Matthew 19, Jesus said to him, and this is the setting of this is Jesus and what they call the rich young ruler. A young man comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus starts rattling off, you know, keep this commandment, that commandment. And the guy goes back and says, "Great! I've been doing these since I was a child. All my life I've been keeping these." And Jesus says, "There's one thing you lack. One thing." And picking up in verse 21, it says, Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." He's been keeping the majority of those commandments. Almost all of them. But Jesus said, there's one other thing you need to do. And he tells him in verse 22, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." He just couldn't get over that hump of denying the worldly desires of things. Things. Things kept him from going to heaven. He just couldn't break away from that. I would say Jesus was a pretty good teacher. I would say he had a pretty good impact on people. Not all people accepted Jesus' sayings. Next, 24, verse 25, Paul had the opportunity to teach the gospel to Felix. And says in verse 25, "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" Paul got through to him. He got through to him about salvation, heaven, and hell. Felix was afraid about the judgment. But instead of doing what was needed for the story to end good, he plays ostrich and buries his head in the sand. "Now, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call back for you." He procrastinates. You know, not now. He knew what he needed to do. He was afraid of the judgment. But he couldn't pull that trigger. Go away. So if you think you just shove it away, if I don't think about it, out of sight, out of mind, that don't work. He's going to have to answer for that later. A couple chapters later, he gets a chance to talk with the political leader, Festus. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." He takes the attitude, he doesn't want to bury his head in the sand. He wants to condemn Paul. He wants to condemn the messenger for the message. Not only is he condemning the message, but he's also condemning the messenger. People might condemn you. Might think, you know, "Oh, you're Miss Goody Two Shoes. Oh, Mr. Christian wants to teach me the gospel." Not only are they rejecting the gospel, they might reject you personally. Later in that same chapter, with Agrippa, it says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. He hesitated. Almost persuaded me. You know Paul was saying the right things. You know Paul was preaching the gospel like he had done so many times to people, had so much success with the same words. Some don't always accept it. We had the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, how the seeds, the word of God, fell on different kinds of soil. We can say the same thing to some people and it be receptive. We say the same gospel message to others, they reject it. We see in this parable that Jesus taught that some of the seed fell by the wayside and were eaten up by the birds. Just eaten up and it never got a chance to take. Some grew in rocky soil. And it grew, it sprouted up, but developed shallow roots. And it withered away. Don't we see that with people sometimes? You know, they get that first start, they sprout up, but then they just wither quickly. And they don't get a foundation. Some grow and then get choked out by the weeds of the world. The weeds just overtake them. And then others grew and yielded crop. More often in this parable Jesus is teaching, there's more chances for somebody to not be successful than be successful. But we need to remember, just like Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that causes the growth. It's our efforts are not doing. We've got to spread the seed. That's our duty. And as Christians, we have to want to save others. We're not going to save others unless we want to. We're not going to be an influence on people unless we want to. Or I'll put it this way. We won't be a good influence. And we have to realize we're not going to reach everybody. But we do have to plant the seed. This is the beginning of a brand new week, bright and fresh. As we go out this week to the grocery store, to work, in our neighborhoods, even in our home, I encourage you and challenge you. Let's plant the seed. Let's be a light to the people that we come into contact with and do our best to have an impact of saving others. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through identifying with working and worshiping here with us at South Valley, through prayers, repentance, whatever your need, please come forward as we stand and sing.